Welcome to A Course in Miracles. So, you know that we're making a change, right? Everybody, this is Stephen. Stephen, this is everybody.
We're all one, so yeah. We can drop the form.
I like that.
Okay, God.
So, you know, you wouldn't be here if there wasn't some itch or some awareness in you that says, change. I'm in the middle of a change. You're not at the beginning of the change because you're already here somehow. If you have any clue what's here, if you've read one page of this book and you didn't throw it out, you're already well underway in the change or the healing of your mind. They would say, I'm sick and tired of punishing myself. I found the problem. It's me. And I want some peace. Maybe you go as high as saying, I've done this for years, and I really want to consistently be that light for any place in my life where there's darkness. I want to be the light. Well, I know I can. So I want to all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get stumbled, I get shocked by the situation, and I get weak. I want that to end. Maybe that's what you're doing. Or maybe you're waking up in the morning with this ugly thought and you say, I want this. I don't think I actually need this, but here it is again. How can I be free of this thought that keeps occurring, or this judgment that keeps happening, or this person that I can't forgive because they're just that bad? I mean, who would forgive them? But it's a pain. I want to be healed from that. But not by lying. I want to be happy, but not by lying. I can't just pretend everything's okay. Because you got these reasons. You've got this story. You could actually measure it. Maybe you won the lawsuit. Maybe you lost the lawsuit. Maybe that pain or that cancer is too hard to deny. If you don't have these things yet, you will. And then you won't, and then you will. That's the way life is. But if you say, not by lying, I know I could choose peace. I've tried choosing peace by lying. I've tried forgiving by lying. That was without Course in Miracles. When you say, I forgive you, before Course in Miracles, you say something like this, Stephen, I forgive you for that horrible thing you said and that you did. As you know, it hurt me. But I love you. And I want us to continue our relationship. And so even though you hurt me, I hit him again, didn't I? Didn't I punch him again? Even though you hurt me, I'm not going to punish you. In fact, I, as spiritual as I am, I'm going to forgive you. Now, at this point, I expect tears to well up in his eyes. I expect him to get a little weak and for him to kind of lean into me and say, I'm sorry.
Please forgive me.
Now that he knows I'm not going to attack him, he might even come forward and admit more, and I shouldn't have done it, and I was just being selfish. You know, you're better than that. And you didn't deserve what I did to you. All that, I'm going to go, tell me more. What? That's the ego's forgiveness. You see, it's an attack, isn't it?
And then when they do it again, you bring it all back up like it never got forgiven.
And I know I can beat him twice as hard because he already admitted it once.
You did that last time, too.
I get double cheers. It's an attack, and it's a celebration of a point system that's totaled with guilt. And to say that I forgave him, once you read a little bit of this, is a lie. A straight-out lie. If you say you forgive somebody or something, and yet in your heart, you're still angry, You did not forgive them. I mean, in the outward sense, according to the dictionary, you've decided you're not going to press charges or whatever. But you're not free, are you? You're carrying something. You're carrying a weight on your heart. They've already gone off and lived their life doing something else, and yet you are still carrying this burden. Got to be a better way. No more wasted time. No more wasted mornings. No more wasted nights. And what this book says is true. Listen, 34, that you skipped.
I haven't skipped it yet. I haven't finished day 34 yet.
Oh, okay, you're going to get it out. Yeah, all right, you'll come around.
Exactly.
It says, I could choose peace instead of this, whatever this is. You spend all day with that very simple thought, and you discover your power. You discover during that day, if you haven't already, throughout the day, the triggers that come to cut you off on the road, your special partner brought the car back with no gas, the paint's peeling, and it's not under warranty by one day. What? But if that doesn't feel good, it feels bad, it's not the car that's doing it to you. Your thoughts about it are doing it to you. It's your thoughts. You learn that's exactly true, because you learn to set the thoughts aside, even for a moment. And you take a few easy breaths, and you go, where's my problem now? And you wake up right there, proving. Now, how's it not a lie? How's the correction work that we're doing in A Course in Miracles not a lie, like it was before A Course in Miracles? You're just telling yourself a story. You're telling yourself some story to try to make things feel better. Why is that different with A Course in Miracles? That's what a miracle in this book is. Shift in perception about the situation that makes it no longer harmful to you. If it's still dangerous to the part of you that matters, and you forgive it, you're lying. You know what lies do? It's chaotic and doesn't work. There's no peace. Comes back again the same way or worse. But when you tell the truth, when you forgive, for real, as we're learning here, it's a release. It's a release. Something you've been holding on to that's been heavy in your life is released, honestly, without a lie, honestly. Because you were able to shift your perception about it. You took the teeth out of it, the darkness out of it, the heaviness out of it, the guilt out of it, the victimhood out of it. And you actually came to rest for a moment. That's how the healing feels. That's how a miracle works. You may have to spend some time after the miracle occurs. Miracle is with the help of the lessons here with the Holy Spirit. The correction, power that you have in your head to see things differently. That could be instantaneous, thank you very much. But, just like, you know, putting the drug down is a necessary start. You may find the next day, just because you put the drug down, you're still looking for it again. Mm-hmm. Powerfully, maybe stronger than before. Uh-oh. Same with your ego. But if the lesson of forgiveness, or the miracle's taken in, then forgiveness itself teaches the lesson. Because you are now, without lying, putting down the ego drug. And not living with the fear for a few moments. And saying, healing is happening. I don't feel like attacking anymore. And the honesty is like a breath of fresh air, like cool air. As you release it, you're starting to release the problem, the sick, heavy thoughts. You release them. The benefit, of course, is when there is some stimulus where you would have crumbled or attacked or done what you used to do. And you don't, and it feels great. Not for trying, just for celebrating. You're celebrating, you're not doing this, I don't need to. Oh my God. That is what the book in the triad of A Course in Miracles steps is called, the holy instant. And it's also a spiritual awakening. You're now reborn right in the situation where the ego would have grown. It shrunk. And your spiritual identity rose. Through freedom. Through peace. It's addictive. Peace becomes addictive now. It's a good addiction. You need an addiction. You will have an addiction. As long as you're in time and space and the body, it's part of the program. There will be something drawing you for security. Something drawing you for identity. Something drawing you for continuity. Something drawing you as a... You'll have to be addicted to something.
I recommend peace.
Because it leads to everything great that you always want. So, this is a wonderful section we're studying in the book, and it's called The Consistency of Means and End. It's a lesson in itself, isn't it? Kind of logical. If you want to get somewhere, you need to keep going in that direction. That's the means, right? It's the walking or the driving in the correct direction. Or the decision making, or the investments, or the moving, or the time that you spend is the means for what? Yeah. And we did last week, remember? We talked about your purpose, for those of you who are here. Do you get a handle on, ultimately, what can you do? What is important to you? Is your next step in your awakening? Don't choose the lofty goals that are like, you know, some whole lifetime's worth. I mean, it's good, but maybe not so practical. But tonight we're going to get closer on the means for whatever goal. Your spiritual goal, of course. But maybe it's another goal of maybe like listening to your partner. Maybe that's the goal in your relationship, so that you have a little more peace in your household. I mean, whatever it is. There are means to do that, right? That's the goal. That's the end. And there are means to get there. We're going to look closer at the means tonight. The practicality. And like much of A Course in Miracles, the lesson is not in the what you're going to do to achieve your goals.
Darn it.
No, it's not that. You'll figure that on your own, because it'll be right in your face the next time you have a problem. That's what you're going to be dealing with. But it's how. It's how. Because when you learn these lessons of mind that we must learn and heal and correct, that method of how you will approach things, difficult things in your life, is universal. No matter what problem seems to face you, as you learn this discipline of mind, let's call it, actually the Course has the word for it, it's the undoing of fear. When you learn how to undo what your ego would put in your way, it works on every problem you could have. And in the words of the Course, this will remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. Now, in any situation. Now, the means. The means. Remember, not what. Because everybody here has a dramatic story of some sort. that they could tell us about what has to be done. They haven't done it, and they wish they could. Let's work on fundamentally somehow. It's already occurred. There's a hesitation in your life. There's a hesitation somehow built in with whatever you're trying to accomplish. You're trying to write a book? You're trying to write that letter? Are you trying to put together that different plan? Are you trying to heal that relationship? I want you to take a look for these next few minutes at this funny little thing you might call hesitation. We're going to open it up. We're going to bust that. Just take a few minutes and look at this little tool of the ego that you seem to be a victim of. Let's peel this open for a few minutes, okay? All your life, here and there, sometimes, even when you know exactly what to do, there comes this hesitation, a not choosing. A non-advancement. Narrow your mind down to that feeling of hesitation. Stay away from hesitating on any example. You don't need that. All your life, there have been times when you instantly felt what to do, you felt empowered, and you didn't. You didn't, you couldn't, you wouldn't. You doubted. Let's catch that experience. What's happening? What's happening when you know what to do and you don't do? What happens when a thought arises, you're doing something, and you say, oh yeah, and you just do it. It's done already. You're doing it before you forget to do it, right? Boom, it's done. What's that? No hesitation at all. What happened there? What's the difference? And now, if you would, just look at that hesitation experience. Try to pick a word or a phrase that describes what it's like to be in that little zone when you know what to do, but you just don't. You can't. You won't. What is happening? Pick a word or a phrase that describes that moment. If we don't look at the things that stop us, they will continue at the worst possible times to continue to stop us. We must look. So, what happens when you hesitate?
Amazingly, when you hesitate, mostly it's when you try and do it yourself. You keep thinking you know what the answer is.
Oh, beautiful. When you try to stay in the problem and fix it yourself.
Yeah.
Then
there'll be these little things. The little tiny ones, you'll notice, like, oh, you're something wrong. Someone does something, you snap at them or something, because, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And you just don't. You know, it's like sometimes it just happens real quick, and then you got to kind of just, then you'll think, oh, what did I do? And you're trying to figure out what you did, and really you just got to.
You hesitate because you know.
Because you're actually trying to do it yourself.
You know it's weak.
Yeah. So when you just let it go to Holy Spirit or wherever, just say it and walk away from it.
That's good. And the Course says,
it's kind of hard to do with something like
that.
You know, you really, oh, wait a minute, I should have done that 20 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it kind of like sneaks up on you. There's certain things that sneak up, you forget about it.
The Course says that the ego speaks first and it speaks loudest.
Yeah.
There's only two voices. Thank God, it's only two. Ego speaks first and speaks loud. The truth. It's in shining silence.
Yeah, silence.
How do you hear silence?
Yeah, so what you do if you... I think when that happens, if I just decide... Just look at it and let it go and just be, like, silent for a moment.
Yes. Okay, so you hesitate because you recognize the weakness from which you choose. Which speaks first?
Yeah, there you
go. Good.
Sneaks up on you.
Steven. Steve.
Yes.
What's something about hesitation? Why does that happen? Why do you do that?
I think it's the stimulation, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's movement, that's true. Any movement needs enough stimulation to actually occur. It isn't, so of course has this phrase, and it says, readiness is not mastery. Just because you know, because you've read the book, you've memorized a few pages, doesn't mean you're ready to forgive, actually. I don't know what it would mean if I actually didn't attack. Would I then be attacked? Because I didn't, wasn't, you know, attacking for stimulation. A little bit would help. It would help to have a little bit of motivation. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why doing the workbook in here, you practice, even without actually, you know, it's forcing you basically to meditate on the situation with a guide. And you come up with examples all through the day, right? Every hour sometimes. You come up with examples, and you go to your past, and your schooling, and your family. You got to come up with stuff. But it's starting to scrub you clean as you apply the day's lesson. So then when things do happen, you've already had some exercise. You feel kind of motivated. Give me a problem now. I'm ready. All day solving them that are in your imagination. And sometimes it makes you feel so empowered and so free. So bring it on, world. You're motivated. Stimulated. Very good. Bridget.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Steve, anybody tell you can use those books?
Yeah. Ken,
oh, you have one. I'm sorry.
Good. Thanks, Lynn. You can use two books, she meant to say. We have extras tonight. So, what's something about hesitate? I mean, when that happens.
Well, it starts with the doubt, fantasies. I start fantasizing different scenarios.
Oh.
Then I start separating myself from whatever person, place, or thing, whatever.
Yeah.
And then,
then
the past thoughts start. Last time I did that. Let's see, this happened.
Oh, you start analyzing
it. Somebody. Well, I don't know if I want to go there. I want to, you know, and I'm trying to go that little route, and then just realize that it's the ego process of elimination.
Uh-huh.
It just kind of keeps me hopping around, trying to
put
out all these fires.
Try to pick the best of the worst alternatives here. Analyzing, and yet there was some stimulation in the beginning, so I know what I should do. And now with your Course in Miracles reading, there's a whole other set of alternatives, and often it's one. Wow, if I was really healed, here's what I would do.
Yeah, the awareness of the ego coming in and jumping around, making all those, and going to the past, it's like,
yeah.
So then choosing differently and choosing.
You said fantasizing? Ego comes in and fantasizes about these different possibilities. Oh, now, rather than having only two choices, which when we study the book, it all comes down to two choices, not 100. Because remember, it's not what you're going to do, it's how you're going to do it. That we work on for peace. To approach things with the power of peace, that's a how, that's not a what. So the ego comes in and just you start circling. That's good. That's certainly, that's been there. Kenny, what's something about that moment of hesitation when you don't act?
The fear of saying something wrong.
Yep.
But I was just thinking, maybe just let the ego blast it out. Then feel bad and then forgive yourself.
You ought to forgive.
Let's say something stupid.
You got forgiveness in the bank. That's great.
There's only two. It's going to get fucked up, so.
And if it's Bridget, she's a Course in Miracles student, you can say, honey, now forgive me for what I just said to you. All those four letter words, you know. Forgive me. Thank you.
Right. Maybe there's forgiveness in there someplace, huh?
Yeah, the fear of doing something wrong.
Fear of doing something wrong.
That you might actually make it worse. Mm-hmm. It's already bad, because it needs correction. Yeah. And you could open your mouth and make it worse. Say something wrong.
And it's more of the fear of the fear.
Oh,
it's like that. Double that.
Oh, because who's guilty for speaking? You are!
Yeah.
Maybe the situation's bad, but if you say something wrong, now you're bad.
Yeah.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the ego working its tricks? Mm-hmm. Insulating you from actually coming forward and solving the problem. You bet. You know, in these circumstances, the worst ones, okay? There's a lot of minor things, but the worst things in your life have to do with communication. The worst things in your life is usually a love relationship where somehow you're having trouble communicating through it. Don't want to make it worse, don't want to say the wrong thing. Because then they'll get the wrong idea, and they could actually, you might even lose some ground. They don't believe you already. If you say the wrong thing, they're never going to believe you, and you lose ground. Oh no! Ego will paralyze you.
There's no way to explain it.
No way to explain it. And when you try to explain it, that's exactly what I thought you would say. No! That's because it's true! No! Right? All been there?
Yep.
Oh God, how frustrating is that? Now. In chapter 15 and 16, we dealt very heavily with a special relationship. And that very colored description and discussion, it took us years to get through that juicy thing. It ends up saying, you know what, it's communication, it's all about communication. You've got a body. If you've read ahead, you'll find out that your body's not actually real. It's not something you get to keep. You didn't have it before. You won't have it after. It's just kind of, you know, you're an actor on a stage kind of thing. But there's something good for something. While you got it, while you're so addicted to being in the body, clothing it, feeding it, watering it, caring for it, getting it loved, loving with it, that has a new use now. As you go through your spiritual awakening, it's really useful for communication. To help you undo all that you've done that makes you think you're stuck. And it describes that this communication, the ego thinks you give something up when you're honest and you actually say how you feel, even though it might be petty or embarrassing or The ego says you're going to give up something when you get that honest.
You've got to be better than the other person if you do that.
Right, you've got to be better than the other person, right? You've got to be better than they are. But what happens is, when you're actually honest, a whole nother wave of communication is occurring at that time. It's not carried by the words. It's carried by your honesty. By your vulnerability. By your relaxed shoulders and your open eyes. This is how you transform a special relationship that is essentially a carefully played competition with contracts to a holy relationship, which is walking together in a celebration of joy and a chance to love, to share in love. In a special relationship, you can say the wrong thing and it will hurt. It'll be held against you, then it'll add 2 more hours onto this discussion before you're allowed to sleep. Been there? Oh!
Been there.
The holy relationship, you say the same words that are the wrong words, right? Oh, you know, I really meant to say. You say the wrong words in the environment of a holy relationship, and the intention is heard, and the words are ignored. Been there? I've been there too. Because it's a healing intention. It's a joining intention instead of a fight. You can say the wrong thing, it'll be heard the right way. Or they'll say, well, you didn't mean that. You probably meant to say, yeah. And you just join, right? And together you go. And then the problem gets healed. And you're stronger for it. You've been there too. So it's a matter. Very good. Saying the wrong thing. Yeah. Deborah, what's something about that hesitation? What's happening?
At first I just thought, oh, it's fear, you know. But then I thought, okay, so it's this quagmire. It's this moving target or something. And my mind is just trying to strategize, but it's going really unconscious at the same time.
Yes.
And
yes, it's getting out of the moment.
Yeah.
Going unconscious into the strategy, trying to prepare. Analysis paralysis. Sure.
And it's really uncomfortable in there.
Yes. The course describes that as the ego alien journey with the ego as guide. It's where you've hired a guide and he says, follow me. Oh, by the way, this is my first time. I've never done this before. I don't know where we're going, and I don't know when we'll get there or what there looks like, but ready? Let's go. Follow me. Bad guide.
Saboteur.
Sabotaged.
Yep.
Yeah. Is it Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, did you guys see that?
Oh, that's pretty good.
I had his name.
Two consonants, two vowels. I was thinking about Eckhart Tolle talks about this thing about enthusiasm being in with God.
Yeah.
And when I do things without the hesitation, I'm usually coming from enthusiasm.
Oh.
So, like you said, there's that missing part. When I'm with enthusiasm, it's kind of like I've got love with me. I'm like, I'm enthused. I've got God with me. There's no doubt.
Yes.
There's no fear. So, the polar opposite of that for me is the mind, the ego comes in and starts telling stories about how it's going to fail. And so it's the failure before the failure. Because I never even get off the ground because the ego's already told me it's going to blow up in your face.
Yeah.
And so I get into that paralysis that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And this has been my conundrum with getting things done, is if I have time to spend too much time in my head about it, it'll never happen.
Yes.
But if I have some enthusiasm about it, I start the process and then it just unfolds.
Yes.
Yeah.
That enthusiasm is this unchecked motion. Mm-hmm. You just do it.
Mm-hmm. Eckhart Tolle refers to it as in God or with God. And I was just looking it up. I couldn't find it. But it makes sense. When I'm enthused, I feel like I got God on my side.
That's
stimulation.
That's right. That's stimulation, right?
Yeah.
That's what he's putting words to it very nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah, inspiration.
Yeah.
Inspired.
Yeah.
Spirit is the breath, the breathing is being done for you. The task is just already happening as fast as you can get to it. How free is that? Versus analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah, that's the difference. Yeah. So, Lise, what's something about that? That moment.
That was a good one, too.
I know it, baby. But I saw it in print, so it's easier now. So, I think I got you down. But these two syllables, two consonants, two vowels, I'm going to work with this. Mic thing.
Well, what I'm currently dealing with, and it's and my ego is attached to things that, you know, I know I just need to let go of. And it's
yeah, in love with the old way as much as you hate it.
Yeah, and you know, it's been something that I've been kind of trying to work through ever since my divorce.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's like my whole...
So, this is...
in the world, yeah, or whatever, you know, yeah, you have to kind of...
Yeah, see, this is the old way has worn a rut in your mind. And some identity has occurred around it. Identity attached to these things.
Yeah.
Doesn't fit anymore. The new way would require a shift, not a gradual reorienting. That's not going to work. Time for a shift. You know what state change is in physics? You know, like water. It goes, you know, from liquid to steam. And there's, you can't really say exactly when it's not this and that. You know, that kind of gradually dissolves into, or going into ice. It changes these states. It's obviously liquid in one moment, and then somehow in another moment, it's obviously hard as a rock. And science has had some fun trying to look at the state change. It shifts. Suddenly, the molecules, boom! You now are faced with a state change. And you're looking for the gradual way where you can be both. It's impossible. Thank goodness it's impossible! Because if you could be both fearful and loving at the same time... It would denigrate both experiences. The fear wouldn't be very satisfying, and the love would suck. Because you're afraid. It just, that's ridiculous, right? No.
That's what we try to be in a lot, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why a miracle is defined as a shift.
Could you explain that, what you were just saying? Expound on that?
Well, I've always said I want to be loving.
Right.
And then I'm afraid if I'm loving, it's going to be thrown back in my face. Or I'm afraid I'm not going to do it in a way that the other person appreciates. Or I'm afraid and afraid and afraid and I want to love.
Because you have a hook in what you're going to get out of being loving? Is that it?
That's it. The hook is there and I don't know what I'm going to get back if I get in love. But that's the ego way of doing it.
Right, so right.
And it's the opposite of loving.
Yeah.
The fear comes in and dulls it down and quiets it and hides it. And then
it's really hard for me to love when I'm at that state.
Because there's fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should go read the introduction. We should come around the introduction for you on that one. Let's finish our discussion first. Zoe, what's something about that hesitation?
It's all about fear.
All about fear.
It's all about fear. And so I'm trying something new lately and practicing the lessons, and it's kind of like my body is moving without my mind. And then I find I'm in the middle of doing rather than being afraid of doing. and it's happening spontaneously, and it's there's still a part of me that wants to resist because I'm not used to just not hesitating and just going for it, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
You would need, in order to not hesitate and just go for it, when you've got all those other reasons not to, you would need a miracle. I mean, really. Otherwise, you'd be afraid to go forward, and you're going to hesitate naturally. You need a miracle. You'd have to have a big shift in trust occur that somehow says, because of my intention, I can't say anything wrong. I'm going to be honest. Honesty and trust is going to carry me through like the wind on the sails of a sailboat. It will just push me in the direction I want to go. Honesty, trust, gentleness, tolerance, patience, gentleness, joy, defenselessness. These all will be your guides. And they will prove your intention.
It's like, that's exactly what happens.
Open-mindedness.
Open-mindedness, faithfulness. David, what is that stinking moment? You're all set up and no.
I keep going back and forth on this. Maybe you can... Maybe you're the only person I know that can answer where, I'm not sure I have the quote right, but it's a line in the book, and it's, I must first be still and do nothing.
Very yes.
Close to that, that I was looking for, I can't find it.
Yes, yes.
And maybe that instant hesitation is me knowing that I'm not still, I'm not starting
of alignment. Ah, purify the vessel first. I must purify the vessel first, because if I don't, I'll go in dirty and make a mess of things.
Yeah, and I don't know about other people, but, you know, a life filled with started and completed projects is very cluttered and not peaceful.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's very different if I'm working with people or if I'm working alone.
Yes.
I know the feeling of I've got to simplify my life here. I've got to do this right. And just standing there and trying to figure out what to do first and doing nothing. And that's a horrible place. But when you're with other people, to simply charge in
yes.
can be very disruptive.
Yeah.
I was with my daughter.
Turn to page 401 in the workbook, paragraph 4, just so you can have this. And it's appropriate to what we're talking about tonight.
Is that the front or
in the back of the book, thank you. Back of the book. There's only, half an inch of book left, less 3/8 of an inch.
In the lessons?
Yes, in the lessons. It's page 401 in the back of the book.
Oh, I see.
In the bottom of the page, it says 401.
Finally got used to you saying workbook, and you're changing it again. Now, it's my workbook confuses me.
I'm keeping it spicy and interesting.
What is forgiveness?
What is forgiveness?
What is forgiveness? Yeah. But look at paragraph 4. So, David, read that for us.
Paragraph 4. Forgiveness, on the other hand, is still and quietly does nothing. It offends no aspect of reality, nor seeks to twist it to appearances it likes. It merely looks and waits and judges not. He who would forgive...
Oops.
Excuse me. Thank you. He who would not forgive must judge, for he must justify his failure to forgive. But he who would forgive himself must learn to welcome truth exactly as it is.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's Course in Miracles. That's right.
Yeah, but look at the next sentence too. That's what he was talking about. Do nothing then.
You want to keep going?
Well, all right.
Do nothing then. Yes. Do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do through him who is your guide, your saver and protector, strong in hope, and certain in your ultimate success. He has forgiven you already, for such is his function, given him by God. Now must you share his function and forgive whom he has saved, whose sinlessness he sees, and whom he honors as the Son of God.
So, what occurs in this hesitation is that I want to help. I want to prepare myself first, and then I'll do a better job of it. That's what I heard.
Or not even prepare, but somehow have it come to you.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh yeah.
And you have no idea what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's kind of like Bridget. If I can have the scenario show up in my mind perfectly, then I'll do a better job and it'll be easier. But how many times you get into a situation, you find out everything is different than what you thought anyway.
Exactly.
And you have to make it up on the spot. Same with what you thought was going to go wrong, didn't go wrong like you expected and you thought about for so long. It's differently. Yeah, it helps to for spontaneity to be born. You need this critical element of trust. Critical element of trust that we learn about in the Manual for Teachers. In that section you and I were playing with there. That critical, everything is based on trust. These higher thoughts of love in difficult situations where the variables are happening constantly is based on a deep trust, not a blind trust. An understanding trust. And then you're empowered to be patient. You're empowered to be tolerant, even when they do what they always do. This time you're tolerant. For the right reason. You're empowered to be honest about your own feelings. Because this foundation of trust, real trust, you've developed this trust with the help of this book. Is empowering you through to see the whole thing correctly. Then you don't have to be so prepared. Because there's a motivation, a stimulation that says, if I follow, the truth will lead. I already know if I lead, the ego will follow and then lead, and it's a mess.
Too many choices.
Yes. So we have to use vague words like this because we're talking about a spiritual awakening, not a how-to plan of what exactly you should say when. We're talking about an empowerment of trust and honesty, tolerance, joy, defenselessness, patience. These are superpowers when you're having an argument. When you're faced with the ego. They're listed for you in the back of the book. Manual for Teachers. Everybody here who's new to this or old to this material should read the Manual for Teachers. Less than 100 pages. It's designed for you. It's to help you understand the words. Read it. Don't be afraid because it says Manual for Teachers on it. No. That's for you. The whole book is for you.
So is that help with then the means and the end? So you already have your plan of how things, if you kind of look at it that from the beginning, or your goal, I guess, of what your goal is.
Yes.
Would help a lot in helping you with your...
Suddenly, as you start to move into a spiritual awareness, always, that you can do this, where that's where peace and joy is, and love is, the goal now becomes a lot simpler and can be seen before you go after the event. To the ego, It has to be measured and certain. To the spirit, it's love, right? It's joy, right? It's peace, right? Those sound like universal experiences to me. And they are. Those become the goals. And then you go through and you do in the world what you do. But your goal is peace or love.
Kind of in a way, that's always been our goal, but we go about it the wrong way, right?
Yeah.
If I do this and get this, I'll have this. I'll be,
Yeah, it's like a contract.
Right.
To the ego.
And then the carrot moves a little further when
if
you get closer to it.
If this, then that.
Isn't that about exactly what children are constantly facing? They think if they do something, they're going to get the love they want. And then they try
to... Can you close the window?
Rejected.
Well, isn't that what the ego is, has it start from the other end and move forward. And hopefully get to that.
And it has to wait, right? It can't make the side of it's happy until after the event occurs. Then it looks back and adds it up. And, well, she said, I get, they get. Okay, I'm happy. Or, no, that didn't work out for me at all. You have to wait. You got to wait, according to the ego.
Yeah.
But if you do it the way you described, before the work begins, the goal is already being achieved. I'm going to be peaceful. Whatever happens, David... As we work out this situation, I'm going to start in peace. I'm going to work it with you in peace as long as it takes, and we're done. It's going to be peaceful.
Yeah, even though the shit hits the fan,
yes,
you can still be at peace with it all.
Yes.
Reminds me of like the power of now thing, because yeah, the real goal is all the peace and stuff, and that's the ends. If you just start at the ends,
yeah,
with what you have,
hello,
then it always works out.
Hello.
You always get there.
You know Eckhart Tolle is a Course in Miracles student?
No, but I think he does it. Yeah, he talks about it, yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
What?
No, he is.
No wonder
it was,
so
it was in his lap when he decided not to kill himself. This is one of the first things he went to and went through. A Course in Miracles helped.
Yeah, there's I heard him talk about Course in Miracles. There's a speech he does on YouTube.
He likes A Course in Miracles.
Yeah.
Yeah. But... it's wonderful. He his writings and the way he opens those topics, his pain body.
He's always talking about that we have this carrot on the stick idea of salvation's in the future, which is the ego's game, because the present moment is the ego's enemy, right? Because it means you've got to be present.
Yeah, you can't attack on the present. You got to figure
so
out.
What I heard you guys talking about, I thought I heard, was that if you start with the ends, then the means and the ends are the same, it doesn't matter what happens.
And you're there!
Yeah, because we're already there.
Yes!
Because really, you go to a job to get the money, to pay the bill, to be comfortable, to be at peace, but if we're already there, it doesn't matter what happens.
We're already there, we're born with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you'll bring to the party
go anywhere.
What you're hoping to find, you'll be bringing it.
There's nothing to do.
I hate those people. Life looks so easy.
Life looks so easy. Well, may you do that too. So.
How'd you like that? Okay. For me, what keeps me from going sometimes is a feeling of self-pity, because I feel like I have no support at all. And then what makes me go, it's a little bit like what Mike said when he was doing it. But I feel like I'm supported, and I'm supported when I'm knowing it. I know I'm supported because I can get started on anything, and if it's the right thing for me to do, I'll be doing it. It'll get done. I don't have to worry about whether it's finished or not. And the support I know I have is an internal support that I think comes from what I call the creative source,
mm-hmm,
or God.
Yeah.
Now I'm also calling it the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's got a number of...
Nice to have a guide, nice to have support.
Yeah.
And it's available.
And before I thought support had to come from people, and now I know it doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's easier not to depend on people.
And I have something I want to share. Is that okay if I do it now?
Sure.
It could apply to this.
Make it apply to it.
We're going to see what we can do. Help me out here, Mike.
I had a dream last night. Someone asked me how I felt, and I said exuberant, and I was. I was in this dream. I'm not normally in my dreams, but this time I was. I knew that something had happened that could be considered tragic or disheartening, but I felt exuberant because I knew that whatever it was feeling, I was free. The person who asked went on to say how horrible it must have been for me, perceiving me as being very upset and feeling ashamed. And I looked at him and I said, exuberant. He backed off and faded away. I woke this morning remembering the dream and said, I love this weather as I looked out the window. Over coffee, I realized how much I loved the author of the book I was reading. I reread the lesson I had been on yesterday, and it was lesson 314. I quote, the future now is recognized as but extension of the present. Past mistakes can cast no fruit shadows on it. I do not now need to dwell on my errors, mistakes, or as I like to say, mistakes. I have been happy all day.
Beautiful. Love it. What a celebration.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It felt really, really
good. What was the lesson?
314. I'm also on page 610 or somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying the same thing. It's exactly where I am in the book and my lessons.
Yep, amazing how that works.
Even my dreams.
Amazing how that works.
But it was so freeing to say, I don't have to go back and remember
yes.
all my errors
right.
ever again.
Right.
Because
mm-hmm.
God thinks I'm innocent and I can believe God.
That's right. Beautiful, Luann. Thank you for sharing that. Conrad, what happens when you hesitate?
Well, it's not a moment. It turns into hours. It can turn into days. And then I end up wasting a lot of energy and time and exhausting myself.
Yeah. Uses up whatever energy you might have had to actually execute got used up in that hesitation and that circling. Oh yeah, the ego loves that. Do it. Try again tomorrow. The ego says, "You know what? Now we're a little closer because we've rehearsed a few times. Try. Let's wait till tomorrow." Oh my God, the ego. Let's bust the ego. Turn in the text now to page 440.
Go now, when you say text,
yeah,
front of the book.
Yeah, so the book, there's several books bound into this one cover.
I got you.
Two big ones and then. Couple small ones. So we have text in the front.
That in itself is a learning.
it really is. I mean, it is.
440.
440, paragraph 3. You ready, David?
Yeah. All right. To obtain the goal, the Holy Spirit indeed asks little. He asks no more to give the means as well. The means are second to the goal. And when you hesitate, it is because the purpose frightens you and not the means. Remember this, for otherwise you will make the error of believing the means are difficult. Yet how can they be difficult if they are merely given you? They guarantee the goal, and they are perfectly in line with it. Before we look at them a little closer, remember that it will think they are impossible. Your wanting of the purpose has been shaken. For it is a goal. If a goal is possible to reach, the means to do so must be possible as well.
Can you feel the practicality that's coming your way and how tightly your hand is being held?
That's the part, the trust.
Yes.
I can move forward on anything if I know that I'm supported by, if I trust that I'm supported.
Yes. It's part of what the Course did for me in my first time through.
Right.
It sort of earned my trust, like this, in what we're reading tonight. Mm-hmm. And I kind of needed it before I could do these workbook lessons that are radical. These are big steps. Some of them are really big steps. But with that trust, I was able to do them and to receive the peace and the power. Okay, let's look at that paragraph a little more closely. All right, to obtain the goal that the Holy Spirit indeed asks little. In fact, as we've read elsewhere in this book, you need to do nothing. Because it's your doing that has made the problem in the first place. It's your doing. Your fixations, your ego, your worrying, and your trying to help. So this is very confident when Jesus says this first sentence. He says, "For to obtain the goal of the Holy Spirit, indeed ask little." Remember, hold your finger here, okay? And turn backwards 100 pages or so to page 298. And look at paragraph 7 on 298. He says, in fact, I think we can have Steve read this whole paragraph for us tonight.
Okay.
Usually we only do the first sentence, and we sort of pick that fruit, and we run back to where we were. But tonight, we'll read the whole paragraph.
Seven.
Okay, we're on 298.
Paragraph 7.
Excuse me. You cannot be your guide to miracles, for it is you who made them necessary. And because you did, the means on which you can depend for miracles has been provided for you. God's Son can make no needs His Father will not meet. If he but turn to Him ever so little, yet He cannot compel His Son to turn to Him and remain Himself. It is impossible that God lose His identity, for if He did, you would lose yours. And being yours, He cannot change Himself. For your identity is changeless. The miracle acknowledges His changelessness by seeing His Son as He always was, and not as He would make it Himself. The miracle brings the effects that only guiltlessness can bring, and thus establishes the fact that guiltlessness must be.
This requiring the power of the miracle as you go forward and make the healing in your mind. The change in perception, the change of letting go of the old ways, the old beliefs, is required. And you cannot do this with the same mind that got you in trouble. You can't. It's very, very hard to stop using the drug by taking less. Is that fair?
What's that saying? You can't come to the conclusions of life's great problems coming from the standpoint from which you created them?
Yes.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yes.
No problem with it.
You thought yourself into that trap. You're not going to think your way out of it.
Yeah.
Look at, hold your, we can drop that page.
It is. Larry.
Yeah.
That's right. It's good logic. Turn to page 640.
So which fingers are we putting where now?
Keep your finger on 440. You can drop the 298.
You
got 2 fingers. Okay.
You got 10 fingers, so I know how far we could push this.
Chapter 30.
In the front of the book, page 640. And we just want to see whose wisdom are we going to use to heal our mind? The big clue is, it's not going to be yours. You want to be the problem. Look, love you, but time for you to take notes. You need help. Help. Mm-hmm. 640, paragraph 1. We'll just read paragraphs 1 through 3 tonight. It's called The New Interpretation. And Bridget, would you read for us paragraph 1?
Would God have left the meaning of the world to your interpretation? If He had, it has no meaning.
What a hit. That's kind of personal, isn't it?
It's also explained to everything.
Yes.
For it cannot be that meaning changes constantly and yet is true. The Holy Spirit looks upon the world as with one purpose, changelessly established, and no situation can affect its aim but must be in accord with it. For only if its aim could change with every situation could each one be open to interpretation, which is different every time you think of it. You add an element into the script you write for every minute in the day, and all that happens now means something else. You take away another element, and every meaning shifts accordingly.
The chaos of the ego is guide.
Nailed it.
Been living it. Kenny, you ready for a paragraph tonight?
I'm going to give it a shot.
Oh, here we go.
What do your scripts reflect except your plans for the day should be? And thus your judge disappear and success.
Whoop.
I don't know. Success.
Whoop, you got to start again with sentence two.
And thus your judge
disaster
and success. Advance and retreat and gain and loss. These judgments are made according to the roles of script assigns. The fact they have no meaning in meaningless is demonstrated by these.
And so what we're talking about here is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Your ego makes it up and then it tries to prove it's right. And then can he pick up on sentence four? The fact they have no meaning in themselves.
They have no meanings to themselves is demonstrated by the ease with which these labels change with other judgments made in different aspects of experience.
So one little thought comes up and suddenly the game has changed. What was so important a minute ago, forget that. Here's what I really meant to say. What?
A lot of butts in there.
But exactly, Luann. Please continue.
And then on looking back, you think you see another meaning in what went before. What have you really done except to show there was no meaning there, but you assigned a meaning to the light of goals and changed with every meaning shifting as they change.
That about sums up the way the ego runs things. Very frustrating when the ego's talking.
And that's the way I change the words around all the time.
Is that what it sounds like in your head?
Yes.
Oh my God.
This and that.
Well, I think it's great you chose to read.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, Deborah, bring us paragraph three.
Only a constant purpose can endow events with stable meaning. But it must accord one meaning to them all.
Ah.
If they are given different meanings, it must be that they reflect but different purposes. And this is all the meaning that they have. Can this be meaning? Can confusion be what meaning means? Perception cannot be in constant flux and make allowance for stability of meaning anywhere. Fear is a judgment never justified. Its presence has no meaning but to show you wrote a fearful script and are afraid accordingly, but not because the thing you fear has fearful meaning in itself.
And read us one more sentence from the next paragraph.
A common purpose is the only means whereby perception can be stabilized. Common purpose. And one interpretation given to the world and all experiences here.
Oh, read that sentence again for us just so we can enjoy it.
A common purpose is the only means whereby perception can be stabilized, and one interpretation given to the world and all experiences here.
And one interpretation given to the world and all the experiences here.
That's one purpose.
One purpose in perception.
What's that about?
No, it's called perception.
That would be good.
That would be good.
Mm-hmm. That would be a good one.
Indeed.
This is what vision is. In this book, you work around to this thing called Christ vision.
Oh.
What am I doing with all these? What?
Just talking.
I think I want to hear that.
I'll wait. Common purpose is oneness. The oneness. One mind.
Wow. If you could see the oneness in all the differences in the world, you could see how they share something the same. Love is the instant effect because you're included. You're included in one, a oneness perception includes you.
That's why forgiveness is so important, isn't it?
Yes.
Because it's the oneness that we're going for.
Because you're addicted to two and more. So you have to undo, even if you have the idea of oneness and the desire for love, if your addiction is, well, it would be me loving you.
Okay, kitty cat.
And then you love me.
Oh. Smart kitty.
I know where to go.
Can we open the door for the cat so I can get out?
I know where to get chased right back out. We're not supposed to. We're not supposed to keep her in here.
Whatever, you're a cat person.
Well, rules of management.
I wonder if she sneaks in here at night and crashes out.
No, because we close the windows.
Stop playing. Come on.
That's a question.
Yeah.
Just a few pages later, but first lesson, talking about nothing has any meaning.
Yes.
But here we're reading about meaning, so I'm kind of confused about not having meaning.
Very good. Thank you. Perfect question.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially when the lessons begin. The you that's doing the lessons is essentially a recovering ego. And nothing you as an ego sees means anything.
Yeah, I got that part.
So he's wondering how that reflects to the meaning that we're reading now.
Here in the text, at the end of the text, the you that's being referred to is the awakening Son of God. And you're starting to let go of the ego. And it's time now for you to say, wait a minute, there is love. I'm just not good at it. And you're firing your ego. Now you're looking for meaning. But key now, it says right in that paragraph, it's this oneness, one meaning. That does not make sense to the ego whatsoever. It's just out of reach. However, if the truth is meaningless, why bother with it? So you are searching for some satisfying answers. And meaning is one way to describe that. Thank you for asking that. Very good. Very good. All right. Okay, let's... So let's go back to page 440, and we'll look at this paragraph a little more. Okay, so now you understand why this paragraph 3 in page 440 in the front of the book, to obtain the goal of the Holy Spirit, indeed asks little of you. We just went through why. Because you are really ass backwards on just about everything. Yeah.
Then that makes me feel good.
He asks no more of you to give the means as well to reach the goal the Holy Spirit has for you. That's what this book is full of, is the means to approach any difficulty that you still find here. We would dissolve the potency of difficulties here so you can go through them, see through them. This is what the Holy Spirit does, is gives you vision to see through your problems. The ego, on the other hand, in contrast, looks at problems, right? And tries to solve the problem as it is.
And creative.
And it's busy making it fast as it tries to solve. Yes. Yes. Okay? So the means are what we do with the workbook. The means are second to the goal, as you were describing. Bridget was describing to us, as we learn in page 365 of this book, it's called a section called Setting the Goal, where you would decide ahead of time, I want peace. I want love. I have a difficult thing to discuss with Deborah. But I want more than anything for us to just come together on it and understand and be undefended and just work it out. Even though I don't think she's going to be happy with the change that I'm asking her to make. But I want so much for us to be in love all the way through it and all the way after it. I'm setting the goal ahead of time. This is a loving conversation. And I won't let it down. These are the means that will carry you through anything. That goal of loving her is more important than how I get her to stop parking her car right in front of the garbage cans on trash night. I can't get the cans out. The goal is much more important that we have a loving relationship after I'm done. Getting her to park her car on the other side of the carport, please. And when you hesitate, it's because the purpose of being loving more than anything else. The purpose of being loving more than anything else frightens you. In other words, for me to ask her to do something she doesn't want to do, to do that perfectly loving, I might have to bend and move my garbage cans to the other side.
Maybe even be patient, huh?
I might have to be patient.
Jesus.
I gotta get this done. How long have I waited already? Patient.
You've already asked 3 times, but you're not doing it.
Three times is enough for anybody. That's right. But if the goal is really loving, then I'm gonna bend as necessary. We're gonna solve this problem. I don't know where the cans will be when we're done, but I'm gonna talk to her now. Right now. And we're going to solve this.
Maybe.
At least it'll be loving tonight when I finish talking with her. That's all I really... That's the goal. And I don't need to hesitate. If it's love, I want more love with her. So I'm not going to hesitate. Isn't that true? That you've had interactions when your special relationship is good. It seems like even the problems are good, right? You've been there? And you work it out, you get closer for having actually interacted with each other and asked.
Raise your arm, patting yourself on the back about how spiritual you were.
Maybe you did that, but you're listening and you're being heard, and those are good times. Now, when you hesitate, it's because the purpose frightens you and not the means. Isn't that interesting? Busting the ego wide open. Remember this. Hey, you know who I'm talking to. Remember this. Because if you don't, you'll make the error believing that the means are difficult. I would be loving with Deborah, but it's too hard when it comes to talking to her about where she parked her car. It's too hard. She's so personal about it, and she likes getting out of that side. She's got all these reasons. I've already heard it 3 times. She's got all these great reasons for why her car should be right where it is. And no, so you're losing sight of means and end again, huh? Going back into the dirty details of the problem. This is not where communication occurs in a holy relationship. Remember? You're getting back to what instead of how. How can the means be difficult if they're merely given you? How can the way to have a loving conversation be difficult when the way, the how, is given you? It's given you by awakening with your third eye and you're using your Holy Spirit to guide you in the conversation. Instead of the ego alien journey with the ego as a guide, you do the natural Holy Spirit as the guide. You learn how to do that with your lessons in the workbook and through all your studies with the Course in Miracles to choose peace first and to do things without fear. That's a kind of way you get guided through difficulties in the world that now become teachers instead of problems. The means are given you. We study them every time we get together, don't we? We study how not to be fearful. We study how to celebrate the power of your mind. And then you got a little motivation to give me some problems. You know what? I'm kind of ready. Give me. Let me try.
Not there yet.
Bring it on. Sentence six. Yet how can these means be difficult if they're merely giving you yes? They guarantee the goal, and they're perfectly in line with the goal. Before we look at these means a little closer, remember that he takes out his finger and he kind of touches you on your clavicle here. He says, remember, before we look at these means that I'm going to give you, the means that the book presents, it actually has them written out for you to reference, but you're going to love them so much.
Sentence six.
You're going to want to own them as second nature, first nature. The power of being loving, the universal power of being loving as first choice. Well, you know it works everywhere. You're going to want to own this. The same with enlightenment. With any opening of your mind to a higher understanding, this is what enlightenment is. It's a way of looking from a higher perspective with understanding. Every time you make a spiritual awakening, you'll want to apply it everywhere. You won't want to see things from a lower consciousness again. Is that because it's heavy? And now you're lighter. Literally lighter. Same with A Course in Miracles. As you learn these truths, you want to apply them in all your thinking. And you will. You will be reborn. But before we look a little closer at what exactly the how is, so you can be at peace, remember that if you think that these means of being peaceful in a difficult situation are impossible, he lets out a little sigh of air, drops his finger from your chest. Your wanting of the purpose has been shaken. Your wanting of having a loving conversation has been shaken. You're no longer empowered. Or like Steve said, that motivation is going to be missing when it comes time to really be honest and undefended and find a solution that works for both. You won't be available if you think it's impossible anyway. The ego will put that doubt in so it can remain defended. So now you feel that hesitation a little bit more, huh? You feel a little vulnerable right now? For if a goal is possible to reach, the means to do it must be possible as well. Now that's a promise from A Course in Miracles. The goal we're seeking for indeed is love. It's not receiving love, is it, Loanne? That's some other book. How to Get the Love You Want. Right?
The second part of that too.
How to make them
Manipulation 101.
How to Make Them Love You. Some other book. This book says that the goal of your peace of mind, goal of love. Doesn't it say way up in chapter 6?
You're asking me as if I'm Julie.
Well, I know you read this.
I did read it.
And you highlighted it. You haven't written it yet in lipstick on your mirror, but one day you might.
I have a really good one on my mirror. It's still there.
Good.
But it will never come.
This is a short sentence. It's in italics in chapter 6. And it's teach only love, comma, for that is what you are. It's a whole teaching.
Can you say it faster?
Teach only love, for that is what you are.
Peace only love.
Oh, sorry.
Teach.
Teach.
Teach. With a T.
Teach only love. Teach. Oh, so that's what you are. Okay.
T teach only love, for that is what you are. In that section and other parts of the book say, you're always teaching. When you open your mouth and you speak, you're teaching.
Yeah, that's why the manuals for teachers are important for
it's
us
important.
To read. Because we're doing it all the time.
Even if you're not, you don't think you're teaching somebody else, when you speak, you're making a commitment and you're teaching yourself. And if you lie, you'll have to support what you just said. You're teaching yourself what to remember to say next time, too. Because you lied, right?
If it's not true, then you don't remember it.
You're always teaching. There's no neutral. Teach only love, the Course says. But that's what you are. And you don't have to remember what you're teaching, because that's what you are. Yeah. It's true. You don't have to remember the truth. You just demonstrate it again and again. It's so easy. Natural, even. Yeah.
Andrew, I'm feeling a little confused because it almost feels like the purpose and the means are love. And so the rest is just the blah, blah.
I thought the means was listening to the Holy Spirit. Being guided by the Holy Spirit.
That's what the means is?
That's what my interpretation.
Oh, don't get into the words like that. Remember. You ready? Got this? Do you got this? Bring it.
I don't know what she said, but it was right.
It's the goal. Set the goal. And then the means goal, follow.
Yeah.
And doesn't this
sentence... Blah, 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 in the end.
Doesn't this...
I thought the goal and the means were the same. They're not.
Doesn't
the goal and the means are not.
Doesn't this sentence... Right, in Course in Miracles, so many times in A Course in Miracles, you can draw a circle, okay? If we had to dissect a paragraph or a teaching in this book, so many times, we end up drawing a circle. And the circle always leads back to where it started, right? So the means and the end start to blur because it's a circle. And it's every aspect of the circle looks like any other aspect of the circle. This is one of the fundamental metaphysical teachings of how to communicate, how to awaken, how to be listening to the Holy Spirit, and how to be in love all the time, is to understand that the means and the end are consistent. That in order to have a goal of love, you must be loving along the way.
And but you're already there. There is no along the way. Is
now you're
that
there.
Future imagination. The future is now. And so
you're already.
It's the carrot on the stick again. There is no.
What is the law of love in this book? Anybody remember? You remember the law of love? The book says, the book uses the word law carefully a few times.
Law?
It says, you know this, the law of love, the law of mind, the law of spirit. This is the ways that it mentions the same exact principle. I also say this from time to time in A Course in Miracles meetings. I said, look, if somebody asks you, just say something true, Deborah. Bridget, you've studied this big book. You think you're a spiritual person, huh? Is that what it is, Steve? You're spiritual? Ha! Well, tell me something true then. Right? Wouldn't somebody challenge you on the beach and you go, you mean really true? Yeah, really. Just say something true, Conrad.
Love
is the answer. The law of love. This is something you can say that's true. It's true to the ego. It's true with spirit. It's true in eternity. It's true in your creation. It's how you were created. It's what you were created as. And it's this. To give. Well, as you give, you receive. That's the truth. No matter what dimension you're in, what level of consciousness you're operating, this is true. As you give, you receive. Do you see the circle? Do you see the circle? If you give love, in that instant, it's loving.
It's spoken in a duality, but the meaning is non-duality.
And also, the result is unmistakable. In the very moment you give love, you receive love. Now, let's flip it. Just to see if it's true, okay? Let's test.
Is love.
What if you give fear? What if you give fear?
In well, you get fear.
Yes.
And right?
Immediately, in your pronouncement and your vocalizing of something fearful, and the other person goes, what? Doesn't your heart jump a little bit? More than it already was. Indeed it does. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. As you make this real, it's real for you.
I had a funny experience with that one time. One of the lessons, I went into the lesson and it was to love, to give forgiveness and love to somebody that was a problem for you. And so I sat there and I finally got it right, how to do that. I mean, I can't tell you now, but I did it right. Because immediately I felt love inside. My first reaction was, I didn't mean it for myself, I meant it for them.
That's really funny.
I thought so too.
That's good. That's the way it happens. That's good. That's good. It's the law of love. It's the law of mind. Okay, real quick, just to end the meeting, turn to page, oh my God, we're almost there. Turn forward just four pages to 445. Wow, I can't believe we're getting there. This is very exciting. It's taken us about 16 years to get here.
You know what I figured? I counted one
wow.
day. And I figured this class will be at the end of the book, August 1st of 2026.
Well, that's coming right up.
Right. 6 years don't mean a thing for my age.
You'll be there a lot sooner than me. I thought it was a lot longer than that. Let's read this wonderful, wonderful single paragraph, just for top of that page. And who's up to read? Is it you, Deborah?
No, it's Mike.
Oh, it's Mike. Mike, would you read for us?
Projection yeah. makes perception. The world you see is what you gave it. Nothing more than that. But though it is no more than that, it is not less. Therefore, to you, it is important. It is the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of an inward condition. As a man thinketh, so does he perceive. Therefore, seek not to change the world, but choose to change your mind about the world. Perception is a result and not a cause, and that is why order of difficulty in miracles is meaningless. Everything looked upon with vision is healed and holy. Nothing perceived without it means anything. Where there's nothing, there's nothing. Oops. My ego.
It's pretty personal. It's pretty personal.
Where there is no meaning, there is chaos.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes.
The beginning and the end of that paragraph. Perception makes. Oh no.
Projection.
Projection makes perception. Yeah, what I see is what I create.
Pretty short sentence has a complete teaching in it.
My shit colored goggles.
Right. Projection makes perception. As you see it, there it is. So how that relates back to what we're doing is if you think it's impossible, it's impossible. What? No. If you think that the means to love, the means to peace are impossible in this situation dealing with, you know what I'm talking about, the problem in your life. It is.
So,
I have a question.
Yeah.
So next, are we going to continue having meetings? What's
so I'm following the guidance of the state, and they're saying you should not be meeting. If you can't be 6 feet apart, you're just making the problem potentially worse for a sickness that we don't understand. So I'll be following that. And so what I'm looking into is possibly a conference call for a couple of weeks till this thing blows over. You'll get phone numbers. We'll dial in.
Oh, next week we're not having a meeting?
So we look for you. Do you know my email list? I'll send an email out to the group.
No,
to
I'm not.
There's no substitute for meeting in person. But in order
if
to be responsible.
If we stay 6 foot apart,
yeah.
Can we still
meet?
What are we
going to
do?
No, is the barn closing or something?
No. The coronavirus is, the cases are coming up so much that the state of California is asking people, if you can avoid it, don't meet in person if you can avoid it. Is your name on this list? And is email correct?
Are they just postponing the inevitable?
Most likely. What?
You know, getting the bug. I mean, eventually,
yeah.
You think it's just going to die
as
out?
As you project.
No, it does die out. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what happens.
It only lasts so long before it mutates off and stuff like that. Something we can handle, possibly, maybe? Well, it's only 3.5%. Death rate.
Well.
Today, this is all.
Let's have a circle.
More dangerous to drive down the road in a car.
The problem is that it's underreported and not understood very well, and so it looks like it's somewhere around 10 times more higher death rate than the flu, and it's killing all sorts of people who shouldn't be dying from it. So they don't exactly understand, but most likely it'll be turn out to be less of a problem, but right now they do not know. And so the ego is trying to make your life more difficult.
The show, making life
it's trying to make your life more difficult.
Yeah, everyone's separate from each other is what it's doing. Right?
Exactly, yeah, right?
I was thinking about that today. It's separating.
It's a great way that, yeah. And so what we'll do, and it dies out. The 1918 flu was horrible. It was, you know, like 30% of people got it and were killed. Imagine a third of the room gone next week. Oh, Conrad didn't make it. No. Horrible, right? That's just horrible. They never caught it. They never found that thing to find a vaccine because it just mutated away. People died off and they buried them very quickly. And it was never solved.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Now, have they had any mutations at all? Have you noticed any?
Well, all these bugs, they run a while and then they just mutate to a harmless form. And
let's have a circle. And we'll just touch elbows or something. We'll try to behave.
All right, elbow to elbow.
It's like we're going to scrape the answers.
All right.
Yeah.
Take a short, small, shallow breath.
Don't breathe out.
Don't breathe out, though.
Oh, breathing over here.
Don't let it back out.
And don't hesitate. Now that you know.
Who's the carrier?
It's too late.
Don't admit
we're all carriers now.
Oh dear.
The whole goal here, even if you do get the virus, or somebody you love gets the virus and has a difficult time with it, you be the light. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate to be the light in that situation. Carry the confidence with you that your goal is love, and if they're having a virus in front of you, you're going to show some loving light around it. Start now with that. Also for yourself. As you deal with your situation tomorrow, whatever it is, and next week, whatever it is, whatever stress might come your way, if you choose to be more peaceful, don't have the fear that the ego would coach you with. If you choose to be peaceful and just be trusting, it's going to work out. Jump in confidently. Don't hesitate. Your body will be at peace. Mm-hmm. You will be stronger in the situation, both physically and mentally, as you were meant to be. And life's more fun. So do that. Don't hesitate. Choose peace. Amen. And sign up on the email if you're not already on it, and then we'll send out a phone number or something. I don't know. Or we'll get together if the whole thing disappears.
We're not going to have meetings anyway. How dare you?
Right.
And
what
yeah.
Great.
You don't want to. I want to generate fear. Yeah. I want to generate love.